You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
Having all these crazy kind of dreams. It's hard to sleep, I can't eat. It's scary, you know.
I know what you mean.
I mean, ever since that Tuesday, seemed like life is getting real strange.
I hear you.
Shoot, anthrax, terrorist attacks, and I ain't even trying to get on no plane.
I feel you.
And you know, when I try to pray, there's this voice telling me that God's not real.
You know that's just the enemy.
Yeah, but you ain't feeling me.
No, son, I know just how you feel. See, just because I preach and teach don't mean I don't get scared sometimes.
Yeah, whatever, but you TD Jakes.
Well, then I don't make mistakes.
Well,
then let me tell you what's on my mind. When your smile is gone.
Yeah, but I feel so alone.
Although your heart is heavy, God said.
Every burden I will bear.
See, but you don't know
my pain.
I'm getting so sick and tired of all. Got laid off and I top it off the rent's due. So tell me what I gotta gain.
Well, see, trials come to me.
You
storms won't last.
But how can I trust God in all this mess?
Well, see, that's the reason for the song. See, wherever you go, that's one thing you got to know. God is right there by your side.
We've been through for a night.
And he told me to tell you
everything.
So thank you for calling. It's always good to hear from you.
Yeah, but
I gotta go now.
Wait a minute.
I have another call online too.
But I ain't through. See, I'm sick and tired of all these church folk talking about stuff ain't as bad as it seems. See, y'all don't feel my pain.
I don't have pain.
I don't say hi, you're on the cover of Time magazine.
See, but you're looking at now and you don't know how I struggled and what I've been through.
Yeah, whatever.
Now you cross the line.
I'm just speaking my mind.
Okay, so let me speak mine too. I've had some mountains, I've seen some valleys, I've even had to cry sometimes. Back when I lost my mother.
Your mother?
My mother.
I'm sorry.
No, son, it's fine. See, life is full of ups and downs, but God said the storm won't last long.
But how'd you make it through?
Boy, I thought you knew. It was his love that kept me strong.
When you're smiling, I feel so alone.
Although your heart is heavy, God
every
said.
Yeah, but see, y'all don't feel my
pain.
And I'm getting very sick and tired of all this.
History.
I just got laid off and to top it off the rent's due. So tell me, Bishop, what I gotta gain?
Didn't I tell you trials come to me? And those old storms.
But how can I trust God in the midst of all this mess?
See, that's the reason for this song. Wherever you go, there's something you got to know. God still cares.
We've been in you for a
minute. He told me to tell you.
Everything's gonna be alright.
Well, thank you, Pastor.
Anytime.
I think I can make it now. Just tell me what I need to do.
Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Father,
Father,
forgive me.
Forgive me.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please help me.
Please help me.
I love you.
I love you.
I need you.
I need you.
Hold me. Hold me.
Jesus.
My heart,
my
soul,
oh,
please take me control.
Control
right now.
Right now.
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 And even when you feel so alone,
although your heart is heavy,
everybody's
kind of dead. And even in the midst of all of you, and when you're sick and tired of all the rain, remember that the rain won't last always. And in Christ Jesus, you got so much to gain.
You see, the trials come to make it, and the storms won't last.
Remember, my brother, my sister, it's only temporary.
See, that's the reason for this song. Wherever you go,
that's something you've got to know.
God is still there.
We've been made to suffer now.
And he told me to tell you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Good evening and welcome to the Shine Lord Radio. This is your girl, B. Ray, holding it down in the studio. I have a few guests and some Hot Topic panelists. They're getting mics up here shortly, so let's enjoy some more music, and I hope you all enjoy the show today.
Over now.
It's over now.
Yes, it is. I'm just moving a little closer to home.
I'm moving.
When you see me praising the Lord, y'all, I'm just moving closer to my heavenly home.
Listen, for those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on His promise, understand God has not forgotten you. When times get tough, you got to look up to heaven and encourage yourself and say, Key. John P. Key.
Down in the studio. Of course, I got my homie T-Smiley, Big Joe, and my boss, T.A.D. Yeah, plus I have two other special guests on the line that will be revealed a little bit shortly. So today I heard a message. Well, last week actually I heard a message, and I got the permission to copy the message, and we're going to play it, and then afterwards we will discuss it. So let me give you a little intro about the messenger. I've known this dude, this guy, my friend, for years. We grew up in church together. He recently moved to Oklahoma to pastor another church. Him and First Lady Rogers are on the phone with us tonight. And I'm going to play their prophetic hope sermon. And I want to talk about that a little bit later. After we hear it. And I also have my mom on the line as well, y'all. Shout out to y'all for tuning in to We Talk Radio. But first, T.A.D., T.Smiley, Big Joe, what's up?
Hey. What up?
Happy Sunday. Happy Shine Lord Radio Day.
Hey.
Shine Lord. What up, E-Ray? How you doing? Happy Sunday, baby.
I'm good. I'm doing Zoom. I'm doing it all. That's why y'all call me the DJ and producer. Here, y'all don't understand. I'm holding it down, like real talk. So, Miss Jemiah, Miss Sandra, what's up, y'all?
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Hello.
Is Pastor Rogers there too?
Hold on.
Okay. All right.
He's here.
Okay. Hey, Pastor Rogers, how you doing?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
I am great. And I want to thank you in advance for letting me use some of your materials. And like I said, at the end of hearing your materials, we are going to discuss it a little bit deeper. So y'all tune in, and if you want to join in on the Zoom, I put the link out there as well. And we can go back and forth on there. But for right now, we're going to hear the Prophetic Hope Sermon by Reverend Dwayne Rogers of Wilderwood Christian Church in Oklahoma.
Good morning. It is truly a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We glorify God. We thank God for this beautiful fourth Sunday in June. Pray God's blessings have been with you and are with you as we celebrate another Lord's Day. I do want to take this time to welcome you to the service of Wildwood Christian Church. As you see, we are back at our home again. I pray that you have enjoyed the services over the last several weeks. These are some difficult times that we are in with this pandemic that is going on, as well as also the civil unrest, all the things that are happening around our nation with the protest. We just remain prayerful, and I pray that you would be staying in hope, living in hope, believe in God for a turnaround for all the things that are happening in this world. My wife, Yemaya, and I, we invite you and we thank you for joining us in our home for this worship experience, the Wildwood Christian Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I am Senior Minister Dwayne Rogers, and I am grateful that you have joined me this morning. I want to take a look this morning at the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. I believe that it is a text that speaks to the heart of God's people. And although it is really a historical writing by the prophet Ezekiel, its words should resonate as they have resonated in my heart, and I pray that they will resonate in your heart as well. At the end of our time together this morning, as we do each week, we celebrate communion. And if you would like to join in with my wife and I, we invite you to go ahead and retrieve those items for communion, cracker, bread, or cookie, whatever you would like to share with this morning in our communion, as well as the juice that you would like to have, or water, whatever your choice that you would like to use for communion. This morning, I want to go to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 11th verse of the 37th chapter. Reading from the New Living Translation, these words are recorded. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, 'We have become old, dry bone. All hope is gone.' Now give them this message from the Sovereign Lord. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live and return home to your own land." Let us pray. Gracious Master, we thank you that you give us now this opportunity to share together as your people. I pray, God, for this word that you have given to me, that I may speak it with clarity. Someone, God, who may not know you will come to know you on this day. I pray, God, that as his word goes forth, that it will bring forth hope into the life of your people. I pray, God, that as we receive it, that we will not just leave it where we have found it, God, but we would be willing to share it with those who we encounter on today and the days to come. Bless now, God, this word. Keep me, God, in your care as I share your word with your people. I glorify you in all things. Amen. I want to begin our time together this morning by sharing an excerpt from one of the most empowering and popular poems written by the late author and poet Maya Angelou. The poem, "Still I Rise," brings to light the struggle to overcome prejudice and injustice. It has been said when this poem is read by victims of wrongdoing, the poem becomes an anthem, a beacon of hope for the oppressed and downtrodden. As Andrew Spacey writes, it is a reminder of the abuse of power by those who sit in government, the judiciary, the military, and the police force. It is a poem about redemption and integrity. It emphasizes how people will manipulate others, push them around, and talk about them. But still, that person will get up and walk on with their head held high. For African Americans, it sends out the clear, repeated message of hope. That no matter the circumstances, we must cling to our hope. The poem says, "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got all wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns, with the certainty of tides, just like hopes springing high, still I'll rise." Hope, that optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. We must continue to look to the hills from where our help comes from so that we may live and thrive in a time such as this. In this 37th chapter of Ezekiel, The prophet has been escorted by the Spirit of God into a valley to observe in a vision the destruction of God's people, Israel. In the vision, Ezekiel notices on the valley floor old dry bones scattered everywhere across the ground. As Ezekiel tours with God the cemetery of a defeated Israel, it becomes evident that the bones had been in the valley for an indefinite period of time. Ezekiel witnessed not a body in the stage of rigor mortis or decomposition, but bones with no personal identity. During this time of observation, the prophet is met with a question that revs the engine of his understanding. Can these bones live again? The immediate question of our inquisitive nature may be, what were the precipitating events that led to the catastrophe in the valley? My father would often say a small cut will lead to a deep wound if it is left unattended. In our context, the wound of America is great because it believed that where we are, there was no problem. And if there was a problem, it would heal over time. And if it did not heal, as long as mainstream America was okay, all is well. The unattended infection of hatred, oppression, racism, inequality, and injustice has caused far too many casualties to be spread throughout the valley. Black folk are tired of burying and bailing out loved ones because of a broken and unjust system. The question posed to Ezekiel supports his account of what he saw in the valley, but also rings with a homily of divine liberation. James Cone, in his writing, God of the Oppressed, says that for Black folk, liberation as a future event is not simply otherworldly, but it is the divine future that God breaks into their social existence, bestowing wholeness in the present situation of pain and suffering, and enabling Black people to know that the existing state of oppression contradicts their reality as defined by God's future. In other words, my present circumstances will not define the glory of God's promised future. I am not talking about a by and by future, but experiencing heaven on earth, despite all the hell we are going through now. The purpose of this text is to remind Ezekiel, Israel, and God's people today that things will not always be as they are. Ezekiel's response of faith, "You alone, God," leaves the question of possibility to rest with God, with whom nothing is impossible. Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew 26:19, affirms Ezekiel's testimony by declaring to his disciples the unlimited authority and power of God over the living and the dead, the crooked and the straight, the sinner and the saint. In Matthew 26:19, there is a rich young man who comes to Jesus with the question about eternal life. Once he received the answer to his question, the Bible says that he departed bitter and sad because Jesus told him what he did not want to hear and what he was not ready to receive. The disciples, after hearing Jesus' response to the young man, responded, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus' response, humanly speaking, "It is impossible. But with God, everything is possible." This is the tone of Black theology and liberation that stares at the face of hopelessness while declaring a prophetic word of life and restoration. James Cone adds that God is the sovereign ruler and nothing can thwart his will to liberate the oppressed. Ezekiel has been summoned to an oppressive valley to preach a liberating word of hope and good news to old dry bones. For years that felt the sting of hatred and marginalization. To old dry bones that deteriorated while praying for change and opportunity. to preach to old dry bones, who cries when unanswered while waiting in the wilderness for equality and justice. Can these bones live? Or has the condition become so exhausted that the valley will be the final resting place of the old dry bones? We discovered that Ezekiel was not carried to the valley for simple observation. Ezekiel was charged while in the valley with the task of speaking wholeness and deliverance to scattered bones while calling on the Spirit to breathe restoration and breathe new life. Often when focusing on this text, attention is given to the words that God spoke over Ezekiel, words that he would repeat to the bones. Along with God's words of wholeness, it is important to remember the place where Ezekiel was to preach the gospel. Ezekiel's mission was not to extract the bones from the valley, but to preach so that the bones could come back together again and rise in unity while in the valley. The first thing to gather from this text is the value that is found in the valley. The reason why Christ's ministry was so effective is because he was not afraid to enter the valley with those who needed him the most. Christ met people where they were. God's escorting of Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones demonstrates his awesomeness and compassion as a merciful creator. The desire of God was for his people to experience his grace while they dwelled in the valley of hopelessness. God knew that the only thing that could transform the mind and the heart of his people in the valley was his word. Somebody today needs to know that God's word 2,000 years later remains as the antidote to the poison of the Karens, the KKKs, and 45s of this world. There is a valuable lesson to learn and remember in the valley. For so many people, the contentment of life is discovered only in the loftiness of the mountain, isolated and kept from the challenges, hurts, and uncomfortableness of life's hardships. Like David, I have been young, but now I am a little seasoned, and I have learned how to chill and appreciate naps and rest, even in the valley. I once thought that joy and happiness could only be experienced when the pieces of life's puzzle were fit into their proper place. But I have learned that God, who created the mountain, also scooped into place the valley. If God will watch you on the mountaintop, if God will bless you on the mountaintop, he will also keep you in the terrain of the valley. The question becomes, what lessons are we learning? What lessons are you learning from this valley experience? Although the valley value is sometimes never appreciated, while once one is out of the valley, it provides tools for survival when greater valley challenges emerge. If you can remember and take notes of what it took to get you out of what you're going through, you can remember that future valleys will have the same grace, will have the same notes that can be applied so that the time in the valley will expire sooner. The valley will not be just for you, but for your children and for your grandchildren and your neighbors and your co-workers and your friends. God does not bring us out of the valley with the expectation of keeping the experience of deliverance to ourselves. The second lesson we learn from Ezekiel's experience is that there is power in the valley. Yes, the valley has value, but it's also rich with power. We discover Ezekiel's obedience to exegete the word and not eulogize the bones brought not just the bones together, but also birthed the opportunity for new life. The bones in the valley had come back together. However, it lacked the capacity of life. It was the command of God for Ezekiel to call on the breath of the four winds to dispatch a new anointing that would resonate and really reignite the life, the hope, the dreams, and visions of God's people. To remove the restrictions of a knee in ropes from our necks, whips from our backs, and a system of hostility from our feet. To no longer crying, I cannot breathe, to a place of equality, opportunity, freedom, and justice. In a place where there would seem to be no power is the place where Ezekiel discovered that when you call on the name of the Lord, the wonder-working power of God will come with a Pentecostal power. Although it does not look good, the power of God will keep you going. Let me give it to you like this. A few years ago, I purchased a cell phone for my mother. And my mother, regardless of how long she used her phone, would always keep the phone plugged into the charger. I told my mother that there was no need to charge her phone after each use because her usage of the phone was limited. One day, my mother called me while I was out, and while she was out, and as we talked, the conversation became choppy. I could only hear every other word that she was speaking. Eventually, there was silence on the phone. However, instead of hanging up, I kept the phone to my ear. After a few seconds, my mother said, "I'm still here." My mother said she had gone into an area where the connection was not good, but she did not lose power. Although I could not hear her, she could still hear me. Then she said something even more prophetic. She said, "That's why I keep it on charge." I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but somebody needs to know that just because your connection has been interrupted does not mean that your power is gone. God wants Ezekiel to know and for us to be reminded this morning that an interruption in power, interruption does not mean a failure in power. Just because we do not hear his voice does not mean that God is not around, does not mean that God is not present. It is the power of God that revives us even in the valley. Paul said the power of God works best even in our weaknesses. Finally, my brothers and sisters, we have value and we have power in the valley. But the third discovery of Ezekiel's tour in the valley was God's assurance of hope. No matter how long you think you have been in the valley, your stay is temporary. Let me say that one more time. No matter how long you think you have been in the valley, your stay with God is temporary. God tells Ezekiel that he had inclined his ear to the conversation, cares, and cries of his people. He heard them say, "We have become old dry bones and all hope is gone." The mind of God's people was withering in the abyss of hopelessness. The condition had begun to take its toll on the psyche and body, health and well-being of God's people. We are those people in the valley, suppressed, segregated, without hope, seemingly fading away. In a valley surrounded by a system that talks a good game about all lives matter, but does not respect the value of all black lives mattering. We have become old, dry bones, scorched in the open plain of a depressive valley. But the good news this morning is that God hears the cry of his people way down in the valley. God sends a word of hope into the valley that we would not only be, that we would not only, not only he would open the burial vault of the valley, but his people would rise again and come out of the valley. How do you know, brother pastor, that a resurrection can happen in the valley? Well, over 2,000 years ago, my Savior and my Lord was crucified on a Friday on a hill called Calvary. He died that you and I might live and have eternal life with the Father. He died to justify and redeem the lost of his time and time to come. He died a sinner's death. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might have eternal life. But early Sunday morning, that same Christ who had been crucified on Friday
got up from his grave. If God can do it in a tomb, surely God can speak to a grave and a valley today. God is able to free his people from the shackles of hatred, racism, bigotry, genocide, and homicide. There is a prophetic hope in the valley. Maya Angelou's poem ends this way. Did you want to see me broken, bowed hair and lowered eyes, shoulders falling like teardrops, weakened by my soul for cries? Does my hardiness offend you? Do you take it awfully hard? Because I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness. But still, like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a path that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights and terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. We rise to the prophetic word, breath, and hope of God, that even in the valley, God gives us value, that even in the valley, there is power, and even in the valley, there is hope. So don't give up, but rise, because there is a word from God that reminds us that trouble won't last always, that God, who allowed us to go into the valley, is also a God who allows for us to rest in the valley until he makes the mountaintop experience prepared for our arrival. God bless you and God keep you. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for this word. Thank you, God, for the power of your word, the value of your word, and the hope of your word. I pray in the name of Jesus that it has been a word that has blessed, that is healing, that is reminding us, oh God, that trouble does not last always. That in the midst of all the troubles of the world, we will rise. We are rising, and we are going to the place, God, of our calling. Bless everyone, God, who would listen to this message, who would receive this message in the power by which it has been spoken through your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you would keep your people. I pray, God, for this world, this country. I pray, God, for your people. Bless us, God. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work,
say no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Yeah. About over 2 years, and literally the devil tried to tell me your message ain't nobody ain't gonna even listen to your message. What you went through, nobody even cares about it. This is literally like 2 days ago. I was like, you know what? I ain't writing no book. Don't nobody want to hear about that. Everybody got an issue. Well, I'm gonna talk about my issue. And then I heard the message today, and one of the things that he talked about that really touched my heart was the fact that, you know, something that you've been through, somebody needs to hear that. We didn't experience that for our own device. We experienced that because there's somebody else who needs to know that they can make it through. You can persevere. You will see the other side, and the other side is amazing. It's beautiful once you get through, once you're able to fight through. And you ain't even got to fight. That was the thing. I was trying to fight, and I didn't have to. The Lord will fight all my battles with the devil. So I don't even need to fight, you know. But in order for me to be a blessing to somebody else, I have to write that book. And so I received that message for today. Sometimes you never know who the message is for. Maybe just one. It might have been just me. But I guarantee you across the globe, but there are people who are listening tonight that received that message. So, beautiful.
Big Joe?
I love you. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Yeah,
I can. Okay. All right. I'm right here. Excellent word. I've actually, is he still on?
Yes, I can bring them in.
Please.
Yes, I'm on.
Hey, hey. You said something. How you doing? I'm Big Joe.
Bless you.
You said something that I've never heard before. We hear a lot about the valley, and we think a lot about the valley situation. I have realized that there is value in the valley situation because, just like Kia D just said, it can be a testimony or it can be a help to somebody else. I'm a firm believer in sometimes you go through things, not because of your own sake, but because of someone else's. To be a blessing or to help somebody else. But the one thing that you said that I've never heard before was that there is power in the valley.
Bless you. Yeah. When God gave that to me, the value of experience. Let me first say the value of experiences, the things that we go through. I think so many times when we're going through things, we step into a place of despair and gloom, and we have that pity party while we're there, but we fail to ask the right questions. We fail to take the proper perspective. What is going on? Not even so much what I did to get here, but why am I here? What lessons do I need to learn? And then discovering that even though I may be in the valley, I'm not helpless. I'm not helpless. And so many times, and I heard my sister talking just a while ago, so many times we see it as a place where I can't do anything without understanding that the presence of God gives us a word, even in the valley. And it's only by that word where we are able to be sustained and we are actually able to move from out of despair to our destiny. And if we could ever receive power, we can ever understand that even in the valley of the shadow of death, as David says in the 23rd Psalm, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's power. And a lot of times, as we have to be willing to give ourselves a pep talk to help get us out of the situation that we're in, to be encouraged that even though I may be going through trouble right now, God has the power. And I still have power. I still have control. I still have the presence of God who keepeth me in perfect peace, even in the midst of a valley. God bless you. Thank you.
And I'm glad you said that end part, too, because I had a couple people looking at me crazy last Friday when we was talking about encouraging yourself. And I said, well, sometimes you have to hold the whole conversation with yourself. Don't nobody
Amen.
Know you like you do. And
Amen.
Sometimes can't nobody tell you what you need to hear other than you.
That's right.
Whether it's harsh, strong, or sometimes we might sugarcoat it with other people. But when we're dealing with ourselves, we have a tendency to get to the meat, if you will. We don't sugarcoat it. We get right down to the nitty gritty. But that was an excellent, excellent word.
To God be the glory. And I concur with everything you just said. There are people, and that's the one thing about it. We can't expect people to understand our storm. Every storm is tailor-made. We can't expect people to understand what we're going through.
I was right about to say that when you said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
No.
As soon as you said everybody won't understand your storm, you got to understand that your storm is just that. It's
yours. That's right. That's right.
It's tailor-made just for you. So when you said tailor-made, I was like, oh, he's stepping on my toes there. I was going to get ready to say that. But go right ahead, Pastor. Come on. I'm listening. Feed me today.
Yeah, it is tailor-made. I just really believe that when we go through things, we have to see, and it's not a just me. There are other people who are going through things, but when we're in things, it's oftentimes it's difficult to see what other people are going through, and so we have to, as David said, you know, in 1 Samuel, we have to be willing to encourage ourselves. We have to talk to ourselves. We have to give ourselves pep talks. And as you said, we know what we need to hear, and we have to. And while there, we can't see that this is the end. We have to always see the hope that I'm coming out of this, and that's what, you know, I heard my sister talking a few moments ago. That's the one thing, as she's talking about writing her book, write your story, because your story is going to bless somebody. Your story is going to bless somebody. It's going to transform somebody's life, because you are being transparent and you are being honest about where you are, what you've been in, and that's wisdom. And that's the one thing that I appreciate about the old saints, is that the old saints shared wisdom with us. We're living in a time now where the wisdom that the next generation is going to need, they're going to be malnutrition, because we're not sharing the wisdom with the next generation. They're going to need that same wisdom that our grandparents and great parents gave to us.
Amen. Anybody else? Mama? T-Snell? No?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just been back just listening to everything. Everything sounded good to me, man. I'm with it.
Okay. Mama, you got anything?
No, just listening. I enjoy it as usual.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody, especially Pastor Rogers, for taking time out of his busy schedule, and First Lady Rogers for taking time out of their busy schedule to allow me to spread their word on We Talk Radio Network, on the Shine Lord Radio Show. I was kind of like in a disdain or confused as to what I was really going to talk about tonight, and while I was watching today's sermon, I ended up looking at a couple, you know, looking at sermons from way back. I'm like, well, let me go with this one first just to see what people are feeling like. And so it was, you know, it was just wow. And like I say, again, I really do thank you guys for supporting me, for being here for me. Even though we're long distance now, I still thank you guys for being there for me.
Well, you know what, Joe, we love you. You know, again, thank you for thinking enough of what was spoken, and it's not mine, it belongs to God. God spoke it through me, and I'm just trying to be an obedient servant and give it to God, give it to God's people the way that God gives it to me. So anytime we can be a blessing to you, anytime we can do anything to support you, you know, we will. So thank you for having us.
I appreciate that. So as we get ready to close out, we're going to jam a little bit to some gospel. But before we do that, T. Sally, you still got that plate?
I got you.
Oh, okay. Can you pray us out and play? I had to make sure he didn't have that plate first, so that's, you know, hey. Can you pray
it's
us
so
out?
Funny. He literally still has their plate. Come on.
It's okay. It's okay. All right. Lord, we just thank you for, again, of what our ears have heard. God, we thank you for just the wisdom and the knowledge, God. We thank you for each and every one of us that was a representative here on tonight on the Shine Lord Radio Show. We ask that you just continue to bless each and every one of us, God, as we go throughout our day, we go throughout our week this week, God. We ask that you just be with us. Protect us, God, as you always do, God. We ask that you just give us the strength just to get through the week, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Join us in the morning. For the morning grind at 8 a.m., followed by the Kennedy Unplugged Show at 8 p.m. We're skipping Tuesday. We're going to go to Wednesday so after the lights go out at 8 p.m. Then Friday we have the Mind, Body, and Soul at 7 p.m. And on Saturdays at 2 p.m. we have the Ken and Rye Show, which is our youth show. So be sure to check all of us out, and you can always follow us on social media. Everything is WeTalkRadio.com, no We Talk Radio Network. And here we go. Let's get our jam session on.
Won't he make you
yeah.
be where you are. I wanna be where you are. Gotta be where you are. Come on, raise it before I'm say, wanna be where you are. Gotta be.
Gotta be where you are.
I wanna be where.
Wanna be where.
Ah! your white milk. But if you think that's something, God's chemical laboratory of redemption took my black soul and dipped it in red blood. And I came out white as snow. Oh! The angels in heaven done time.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.